Concluding our Lenten series tonight, we have before us the words according to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 14. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? The Word of God. Moses was told to remove his shoes as he walked into the presence of God on Mount Sinai. As we approach his throne tonight, may we too find ourselves acknowledging that we have entered the presence of God. But do we really? We have Good Friday like every year. It's almost like, according to the cycles of the moon, we can expect Easter to come around every spring. Maybe we find ourselves at this time of year getting more excited about the weather turning warm or wishing that it would turn warm. We get more excited about that than about this awesome miracle that we witness this very hour. And Bible history really can't fault us too much for this either. The treatment of something amazing and awesome as commonplace, sadly, is rather par for the course for the people of God. Tonight, Lord, drive this nonchalance from our hearts. Cleanse us from this blemish that darkens our hearts to the truth, that Jesus is our great high priest, better than any other in action and result. Guide us in this truth. The Old Testament priests had the responsibilities of something truly great. In their trembling hands, they held the privilege and the command to cleanse the people of Israel in a foreshadowing of the cleansing of God. From Aaron on down, the tribe of Levi had this awesome responsibility and duty. And they started out strong. The book of Leviticus has it laid out in all kinds and in all manner of combinations what and how to offer which animal and how to deal with all the remains that could possibly come about, as well as how to involve the people in these sacrifices. And the biggest sacrifice was for the cleansing of the high priest before going into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. It was to be a cow. And the blood of this animal was to be sprinkled on the horns of the altar. The pieces were to be burned and reduced to cinders and then sprinkled onto the people. Any remains after that were to be completely consumed by fire according to this specific offering. The level of detail in these offerings is really spectacular. And I think it's only good and right to believe that the priests did what was laid out for them, at least for a time. As Israel got further and further away from Aaron and Eleazar and the more active-filled parts of the Old Testament, they started to get comfortable. They got used to the passage of time and the cyclical nature of the sacrifices and started to feel less reverence in their sacred duties. We have it laid out very clear in 1 Samuel. Eli the priest had sons that did not fear the Lord. From all of these lists of sacrifices, Eli's sons picked which meat they wanted and cooked it how they wanted and prepared everything the way that they wanted. And as if that wasn't enough, they also defiled the temple with acts of indecency. And Eli did nothing about it. Finally, God had enough of it and sent a messenger to Eli saying, "Why do you scorn my sacrifice, an offering that I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me?" The punishment that would fall on Eli and Israel would be the death of his sons and the loss of the Ark of the Covenant. And this is most definitely in part because the priests lost their focus. They shirked their God-appointed responsibilities. The priests were to be a special tribe, people different from the others in their dedication to God and their work before Him. They were to live before other people and to be a reminder to them that their focus was on God. By bringing sacrifices and good ones at that, they were to be constantly telling the people that the greatness of God is the only reason that they have any of this. And as they rightly carried out their duties, they also were to tell the people of the covenant of God. In keeping their end of the covenant, they were being acknowledged as the people of God and being made holy through it. This is the Old Testament two-sided covenant where both parties had action. Yet, in the passage of time, the priests became rote in their keeping of God's requirements. They tired of seeing the best being offered up. They instead kept their traditions. They found ways to write their own rules that protected them in a physical sense and set them up according to their earthly position. And we see that right up into the hours before Jesus' death, as he was carted to the Jewish leaders. He was taken first to Annas, the father-in-law, who was really in charge, who had found a way to circumvent rules in order to keep his power. At what point did they lose it? When did this special branch of people among the chosen people of God lose the wonder, the amazement at being able to walk in the presence of God? It's flabbergasting. We think, man, they had all these miracles and big acts of God going on all around them. Prophets, hands writing on the wall, healings, yet they still lost their sight of what an awesome thing they had. How amazing a thing was put in their charge. When did we lose it? For so many of us, we were brought up in the church. We were taught from an early age the wonder of Christ and the work that He did for us. We, for so many years, have been basking in the stories of Jesus feeding the 5,000, Jesus driving out the demons, Jesus calming and commanding the winds and the waves, calling people to His side. And I don't know for sure at what age it is, but at some point, the stories just don't hit like they used to. Instead of hearing Jesus feeding the multitudes and thinking how great is the love of God that He cares for His people, we think, I know this story. Or instead of basking in the power of our Almighty God as He calms the tides, we think, can't He make it just a little bit warmer or a little less windy today? We do that, don't we? We lose sight of the purpose of God's Word, of God's people. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It is meant to be ingested and put into practice as something precious and needed in every hour, in every minute of every day. But we don't. Maybe on Good Friday we come in and feel a little bit deeper than on other days, but we know that we have lost our focus far more times than we would care to admit. That awe of the story of God isn't there every day. The reverence of the glorious treasure that we hold in our hands is replaced as a common thing. The fire that burns inside of us as people of God is dampened by the fear of judgment of humans who don't even know God. Their words hold more value than the words of our Savior. These are the nails which held Jesus to the cross. The failures of the old priests and the failures that plague us today. As Jesus hung there, He poured out His blood as the sacrifice to cover those sins. Where mankind had failed, He succeeded. He held His focus on pleasing God. The hatred of the world is evidence of that. And the voices from heaven, which we have heard this Lenten season, that Jesus said were for our benefit, are evidence to the approval of God at His actions. The great high priest never lost focus. He never looked at his station in life as more important or more valuable than his purpose for being to redeem his people. He performed his duties of sacrifice better than any other. By his own blood, he entered the payment, not for himself, but for those who have failed. For us. greater than any bull or bird or bread, and of more value than any pieces of silver or gold, is the blood of Jesus poured out at this hour. It is so great, because never before had a sacrifice been offered that was truly pure. All of the sacrifices of the Old Testament were shadows of this. They were flat and lacking in detail. But it's also great because the results of Jesus' offering last infinitely longer than any other sacrifice. On March 15th of this year, something terrible happened. A bridge in Florida collapsed, killing at least 6 people and injuring I don't know how many more. And it was a shocking event because the bridge had just been installed and was expected to be this thing of wonder. And they're still doing investigation on it, but according to some reports that I had seen, there were questions about the integrity of this bridge from the moment it was opened. Cracks that needed repair and issues that needed to be addressed. All bridges need repair. So close to us, the Mackinac Bridge is closing in on the end of a 20-year repair job. And as soon as that repainting job, that's what the repair is finished, they're going to start another long-term repair job on the decking. As soon as a bridge is put up, it immediately starts to show signs of wear. From the initial building, they're already needing something new. How amazing would it be to be on a bridge that never needed repair? Especially knowing that other bridges fall. As we look at Christ on the cross, we see more than a well-built bridge in what he did. The result of our great high priests are better than any other. The results of all of those Old Testament sacrifices were fleeting. As Hebrews calls it, they were outwardly clean. And we all know that outwardly clean lasts for only a moment. Work will get us dirty. Play will get us dirty. Kids will get everyone dirty. It's fleeting. But the cleansing of Jesus is deeper. It's better. Verse 14, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? Our minds, our memories, our consciences are so good at reminding us where we have gone wrong. But the sacrifice of Christ trumps that. The works of God mean more than the accusations of our minds. Instead of a light cleansing on the outside, Christ's blood deep cleans our souls to give us inward peace and enable us outwardly. The results of the great sacrifice are greater than any accusation that the world around, that Satan, or even our own minds can bring up. Because through the outpoured blood, the bridge to heaven is built. That is the bridge that needs no more work, no redoing, no help, no repair. He did it all perfectly, and it will stand forever. His work has made all things new. He has made us to be pure in the eyes of His Father, our Father. He has made heaven our eternal home through His great sacrifice. Can you feel it? This place is holy. Take off the protective gear that you have around your heart, what you need just for existing in this world, and be swept up in the magnitude of this moment. The ramifications of the deeds of Christ echo through all ages and resonate in your hearts tonight. As Christ breathed out, "It is finished," on that day He did something no other priest could. He paid the sin debt for all. Other priests couldn't do it completely, even for themselves. In His victory over death, just a short time from now, is God's stamp of approval upon all of it. Because He died, you have died to sin. And because He rose, you too shall rise to life. There is no other message like this. Nothing so great in all the world. Revel in this tonight. Open your eyes to the Holy Passion. See it for its awesome, special thing that it actually is. God's love in action. Your salvation playing out. Yes, Good Friday and Easter come each year. But the wonder of them never diminishes. What God did for mankind then is never common, always amazing. May we remember that all of our days. Amen.